Sip, Create, Repeat, a podcast where makers meet marketers and share their stories. So fill up your cup and turn it up.
Welcome to the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast. My name is Chris Schneider, and I have with me Pat Rauta and Margot Kelly. Today, we're going to talk about branding, what it means, and why every business, no matter the size, should have a true brand. So let's dive right in. What is a brand? Pat, Margot, what is a brand? How would you define it?
I would define a brand as the personality that a company puts out to the world in short terms.
In short terms. Perfect. So the personality in kind of every aspect, is that what you're kind of referring to? Like everything they do?
Yes.
All ties together.
Yes. So whether it's the logo, their colors, the messaging, their social media, their website, it is the personality that is portrayed on each of those things and how they intermingle with each other. The logo needs to intermingle with their messaging. It needs to portray the same personality as each of the other facets of the business.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I think that shed some light.
I think a real cool quote that I saw the other day was Jeff Bezos of Amazon, who said, "Your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room." So it's doing the work about your company or your service or your product when you're not there to speak for it yourself.
Well, and I think that's something that so many people don't think of, right? They don't think, like, they always think, okay, when I'm on the phone with somebody, I'm going to portray myself this way. When I'm meeting them in person, I'm going to, you know, they're going to understand. They're going to be able to pull my brand. When I meet with them, you know, it's a lot better. What it comes down to is, like, you can't do that 24/7, and people need to realize that, and they need to be able to let their brand kind of take that on for them. And I think once they pull that together, they'll really see a lot more consistency in what they're putting out.
Yeah. And people want to work with people. And I think making your company and your brand really stand out as a separate entity, not just a large corporation, but something that is really relatable to people and makes it feel like your brand is a person rather than just a huge corporation or even a small business.
Sure. People aren't buying products and services because of a brand or because of like a logo,
right?
Per se, like,
right,
they're buying it because they connect with the values that are being portrayed by that brand.
Yeah.
The story, like Amazon, it's easy, right? So like they have the little smile in literally in their mark, they have the smile and it makes you happy. And like everything is super simple with them. Like shipping is free. It's crazy fast, like all that stuff. And they make it really simple for people. And that's why people enjoy shopping on Amazon. Obviously they have a ton of stuff, but still. And I think that's why small businesses still do well today, even with Amazon as a competitor in a way, is people still like to buy from somebody with some sort of personality or something along those lines instead of buying, you know, just from, you know, a place.
Yeah, I think a good example of brand loyalty that I learned and kind of have looked into from a previous job with one of my old bosses was the Coke and Pepsi kind of debate. Like, people are really loyal to one or the other. I mean, some people aren't, but some people will solely buy just because they have such brand loyalty, just depending on which they prefer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's super true.
When, like, think back to like when you want to reference building trust as a brand, like, why do any of us use the type of detergent we use to like wash our clothes? I bet it's because it was the detergent that our parents used.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They established that loyalty so far on. It was like, oh, well, Tide was the first thing I'm going to go with because like that's what I've always known as my mom using, and she trusted it. So why would I not trust it?
It almost brings back like a nostalgia for you too. And people are going to connect like huge with that, right? Like, you smell your shirt when it's like fresh out of the wash and you're like, oh man, that, like,
smells
that,
like home.
Yeah, it smells like home. Exactly. It brings comfort. So yeah, I think of, you know, thinking of a brand, you got to think of it as a whole. So what are the elements that, Pat, like, what are the elements that you feel like create a brand or make a brand, if you could kind of break them down?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think sort of the big three is your brand voice, then your identity, and then your content.
Yeah.
You know, and it really is in that order. I think, you know, Margo, you can speak about how we just wrapped up a branding project and it was much more successful because we started with an in-depth look at like who their target audience is, how they want to speak to them, and the messaging behind that before we even started making what the actual logo and concepts are going
to
be.
Yeah, it's important to understand who you're targeting, what their pain points are, what not only you as a company, but what your brand really has to offer. What's the differentiator between you and your competitor? Mm-hmm. You can have a lot of companies that do the same things, but there's always going to be those differentiators that make your brand and your company different than the rest. And then really targeting those people that you labeled in your personas and figuring out how best to communicate to them, and then tailoring your messaging, your voice, and your tone to answer their questions, touch on their pain points, but doing so in a unique way, in the way that is tailored to you rather than just in general.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point at the very end there, tailored to you, right? So you don't want to establish a brand that you can't carry out when you're talking with people, when you're meeting with people, when you're recording things and trying to act on behalf of your company. That's where I think a lot of people struggle, right? Because they want to either be really relaxed, but they feel that like when they're working on a branding project, they need to be super like kind of buttoned up. And I would always kind of challenge them. And I think you did a really good job of that in our one that we just wrapped up, of like getting that messaging across based on the meetings that we had with the client and pulling in the way he talked and the way he talked about his customers and kind of how he carried that out. And so I do think voice is, it makes up a huge part of it. And I think it sets it up for success.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that on like the client side of it all, when we're doing those meetings and having those questionnaires and stuff, when we were first working with the client, he didn't quite understand why he needed to answer all these questions again. Yeah. He's like, I think I get it, or I don't really know that answer. And we would like pry a little deeper to get that information.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas once, now that the project has been completed on the backside of it,
mm-hmm.
he's like, it makes complete sense why you guys did all that.
Yeah. A lot of the times people just think that a brand is a logo, and I'm sure we'll talk about this much more, but the logo, if it's a good logo and if it's done properly and done right, will communicate what your brand is properly, and everyone will understand that, whether it's subconsciously or not.
Right. Like,
it was great that we were able to work together, Pat, and I did the deeper research into like the brand and the tone, and then you were able to communicate that visually and take what he said and make it a great brand visually.
Yeah, and really quick, I'm just going to kind of read some of the remarks from him. You know, he left us a review based on it, and I think I'll leave out some of the specifics of it, but you know, he said he entrusted us to do a rebrand for a business that's been around for over 40 years, and the team was very professional, creative, and nothing but impressive from the start of the project to the end. They took the time to learn about my business and created something that I look forward to using for years to come. So that's the goal, right? Of using, like, of hiring an agency to do a brand, like, you should be kind of cementing this for years to come. That should be the goal. And I think if you do your homework and do your research with it, you know, that can happen. But if you go into it and with skipping steps, then that's when you rebrand or remake your image every handful of months, because, you know, nothing is really kind of fitting. So, I completely agree. So what do you say? You said identity was the next one. How do you break down, how do you describe identity in this form?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's when you're actually getting into that visual mark, and more so what you're, you know, all the elements of it. Because yes, while you're going to have that logo, you're obviously going to have a set of colors that go with it. You're going to have a certain set of like typography. You're going to have other pieces of things that get used throughout any piece of content you create that will reference back to the brand. And so like, that's really why the voice drives so much of that, like being able to pull the creative there. Because you get to say, like when we were building like a mood board, you know, we found out the things that responded to his audience. So then we're pulling images that would resonate with that audience to then drive how we're creating the visuals for the actual identity and brand elements.
Because the goal is we want the audience to feel connected.
Yep.
We want them to feel like, I can trust this business. I can, you know, I feel safe here, and I want to work with them because of what I see here before I even reach out to them. you know, if I'm reading the stuff on their website, if I'm starting to take in some of the content that they're putting out there, then okay, I'm ready to dive in. I'm ready to, you know, whether it's partner or work with them or buy their product. And I think that's important. And it rolls into the last point that you talk about, and it's content. So how would you break down like the content that goes into like a brand process or the element of content?
Going back to the whole initial steps of targeting your target audiences, creating the messaging, some just overall key messaging and the voice and the tone that you're going to take on your different channels. Content really falls into that because you have your key messaging points, and then all of your content can just trickle down from that. So you have the main points that you want to be targeting to your audience. You know their pain points, you know what they're looking for, and then you can tailor your content to answer those questions that they have and make it a little bit more interesting for them to go to your site, go to your social media, go to your anything that you put out content wise. It just helps a lot to have that voice and that identity that you really know what you're talking about it, right? When you're targeting your audience.
So what you're saying is content can start to do some of the work for them. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it takes a little bit off of them. They don't feel like they have to be on the phone describing everything all day long. They don't feel like they have to be going back and forth in emails. They don't feel like they have to do all that because a lot of the content should be taking care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that's really important to remember when you're building a brand is this should be much more than just like a visual connector to your business. It should kind of be everything wrapped in one.
Yeah, I think, you know, and then paired with that is the consistency aspect of it.
Right.
You know, whether you're seeing that thing on Instagram or you're seeing it on their website or you're seeing it in a newspaper ad, because, you know, people are on all different sorts of mediums that are there sending their message out to. If the visual consistency is there from like image styling, colors, all of that, that's going to help like build a trust because there's going to be like visual recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people recognize like a brand is more successful because they use the same color over and over. I think it's like 80% higher retention when the color is portrayed the same way. Like we could show you like a coffee mug with just a hint of green on the side of it. And you're going to be like, oh, that's probably from Starbucks.
Right.
Without even seeing a logo or seeing the context of it, but because they visually represent themselves so consistently.
Yeah. I think right now we can all probably visualize like, you know, the McDonald's colors, right? Like you can see it in your head the second you start saying those names. And that doesn't have to happen just for like Fortune 500 humongous companies. Like that consistency can be there with small businesses. And I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with is they don't think that their small business can have like an impact like one of the larger companies do. And I think, you know, you got to kind of challenge that thinking because it can. And people are loyal to small businesses.
I think it's even more important to have an established brand as a small business. It makes you look a little bit more legit, if we're being frank.
Yeah.
And it kind of helps your customers know that you put thought into your brand, you put thought into your company. You're not just throwing things around hoping it sticks.
Right.
You really know where you're coming from. You know what their pain points are. You know that you, or they know that you know who you are.
Right.
You know, just like as people, we figure ourselves out, and a brand is like a person.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like that's like, as a business owner, you care so much about your product or service. Like you put everything into developing it, executing it, and like providing it to your customers.
Yeah.
That like all of a sudden, if you don't have the visuals to back that up, why would that be an aspect that you wouldn't want to put money into?
Right.
Yes. It also helps you just look more legitimate. Like if you don't have a good visual brand and you don't speak the way that you truly feel about your company and your brand, then people don't trust you and people buy from companies that they trust, and that's just kind of the truth.
Right. And I think
it takes less to get there than people even realize. Like the upfront expenditure of building out the base of like having the good guidelines and the identity of that, having that in place to then say when you're putting together a pitch deck or a proposal or something that you're going to show someone that you're trying to look bigger than you are.
Yep.
You know, if all of that groundwork's laid there and, you know, you're hiring just, you know, your cousin or some intern or somebody that's going to create this for you,
mm-hmm.
if they already have a bunch of the tools to work from and do it, they're going to look better.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a lot of the guesswork out.
Exactly.
Right. Right. And I think that's a key. So, yeah, you know, brand projects can feel really expensive for small businesses, people that are just getting started. And they feel like, you know, what am I getting out of it? Because I don't have like a product that I'm walking away with. I don't have, you know, my widget that I make isn't like refined and perfect. And now I have this to sell. But I think what they're not realizing is it's much harder to do this down the road, because they're already, by not having a brand, they're establishing a brand. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's messy and it's unorganized and it's,
you get one chance at a first impression.
Right.
So if someone's going to see a, you know, messy logo on a bad website that doesn't fit maybe what the high quality of a product is.
Right.
Why are they going to go back to that when you rebrand it 6 months from now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that opinion's already been formed.
Yeah.
There are so many times where I've gone to different websites, different social medias, different anything, and I just see sloppy work, and it can be the best thing that I've ever tried in my life, and I still will think less of the company
right.
because it's messy. And I mean, of course, I'm a branding professional, so I have a little bit more of a of a view on it. But
I mean,
even before, you just want to see something that looks buttoned up, that looks true to the company, and that like makes sense with what they're selling.
So I think a good brand stays out of the way, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can enjoy like what you're. Whatever it is that you're reading or looking at, but like a bad brand hinders it.
Yeah. Yes. A bad brand sticks out, whereas a good brand that works with your product is seamless.
Yes.
Right. Right. And I think that's something that small business owners in general, when they're getting started, to me, it's like one of the pillars of starting your business. It's like, okay, what is your unique product or service that you're offering, or why are you different? And then, you know, can you make it happen in this space or this region or whatever? And then, okay, like we need to build a brand now, because you need something to get started. Cause otherwise it's just kind of like, oh, I'm going to say this. And then now I'm going to say this. And it just feels unplanned and untidy. Yeah. And I think that's, it's something that so many, and it's not just small businesses struggle with it. There's medium sized businesses out there. There's people that do millions a year out there that like, maybe they got super lucky because their product is so good or the service is so good. But what's going to happen when they try to take another step or when they try to grow their team is it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. There's going to be a lot of internal struggle there with like consistency, right?
Yeah,
and their messaging and their creative and like all that stuff. And then when you do expand your team and you have more people working in your products, like that makes it 10 times more difficult because nobody knows how to speak on behalf of your company. And that's, I think that's one of the key points to helping grow. When I even think of like, you know, one of the services that we offer in social media management, people ask all the time, well, how are you able to speak on behalf of my company? How are you able to, you know, talk like you're us? A huge part of it goes back to brand, right? And if not, then we have to do a lot of work ahead of time to like kind of get ourselves aligned with the company before we can start to do that. But having that brand in place and having the tone and the messaging in place sets it all up so that you can expand down the road a lot faster and a lot more simple. So I think branding is crazy important for small businesses, even if it's solo, you know, one man shop that's just getting started. Like it's super important to have that detail and that consistency there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, that is all I have. So thank you guys for being a part of this. We look forward to making many more episodes of the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast. We drop episodes for this podcast once a month. So be sure to subscribe so you know when our next episode drops. Our next topic will be Facebook ads and why your business should be running them. And you're not going to want to miss it because we're going to drop it in November, come election season. And it's going to be pretty fun to take a look at what's going on, maybe some results from some of the bigger elections and how Facebook may or may not have played into those results. So with that, we'll see you next time.
Adios.
See you.